Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 9. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here. And I'm grateful that I'm allowed to be in His presence. Amen. I'm grateful for the family of God and the house of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that's the Christian way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for the ministry of your Spirit here to continue. Pray, God, for the revelation of your word. You know each of our hearts. You know each of our minds. You know each of us in person. Please, God, talk to each one of us according to your will and according to your desire in our lives. Give me the ability, O Lord, to minister this thought, this word, effectively for your name's sake and for the sake of every soul in this house. Let your name be magnified in this, and we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I just need to take care of a couple things. In Voces Unidas today, we announced our regularly scheduled prayer meeting and our regularly scheduled minister's training. We won't be able to do that because we have a business meeting here on Thursday. So we won't be doing that. Praise God. And as far as the tongues and interpretation are concerned, we still may have that completed yet tonight. So we're not going to be afraid to let God have his way the rest of the night, right? Amen. Praise God. Saul, who later became Paul, we're reading his stories on the road to Damascus. It's a story that's familiar probably to most of us. I had some knowledge of it even before I came to the Lord. I don't know where I heard the story, but I knew about it. I knew about this Saul and how he became Paul. Not having read the Bible much, that was a story I was aware of. But I didn't know the whole story. Notice what happens here. Saul is struck down and he sees a bright light, and then he begins to have a question and answer session with God himself. Doesn't that seem strange to you? This traumatic event, this unexplainable supernatural interruption in his plan, and he just begins to have this question and answer session. He's blinded, he's hearing a voice from heaven, and he starts talking to it. Hallelujah. We can all have a question and answer session with God right here tonight in this place. I believe that's why we're here, because God wants to talk to us. And he's not afraid of any question you can ask him. He can answer it. Praise God. If you had one question and one person to ask. If you had anybody that you can think of that you could ask a question, who would that be? What would you ask that person? Just think about that. You know, would you want to talk to John F. Kennedy? Or no, I understand we're at church, and the first answer everyone's going to say, well, I'd talk to Jesus. Yeah, that's the obvious question answer. Okay, that's what we would all want to do. I'd want to talk to Jesus too, but I'm just trying to. If there's something you wonder about, you know, Albert Einstein, would you ask Albert Einstein, you know, why he didn't use a comb? Did you ever see those pictures? Smartest man in the world and still doesn't know how to brush his hair. There's some questions you'd like to ask people, you know? I always refer to this same personality because for a long time I enjoyed it so much. Before Larry King was a skeleton on TV, I mean, before he was a TV personality, he had a radio program. And it was late at night. It went from like 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the morning. And he's a really good interviewer. You have to give him credit for that. And he was really good on the radio, too. And he had a lot of very interesting guests. But he had some of the corniest people call into his program sometimes. He would have a call in all night. And if you ever listen to talk radio, that's half the fun and half the torture is who the callers are. There's some people that call the local radio stations on a regular basis, and you just turn the radio down. By the way, I was on WIBA this past week, in case you... But Larry King would have these people call in all the time, and they would start getting into a speech instead of asking a question of the guest or addressing the topic that Larry was talking about, and they'd just get on a roll. And as soon as they started gaining momentum, I knew it was coming. I could hear it before it even happened. Larry would say, "What's the question?" And then the person would try and wind up again and get rolling. He'd say, "What's the question?" He'd get two chances. If they didn't answer the question the second time, they were done. They were off. What's the question? A little while later, when I worked in drywall, there was one summer when we did a lot of work in the Wisconsin Dells area. And it just so happened that it was just out of range of the Madison radio stations. I would listen to the Milwaukee sports talk radio. Now, so many of you are just looking at me like I'm an alien or something. Somebody here tell me you listen to sports talk radio. Just one person and I'll feel, all right. Anybody know who Steve the Homer True is? Woo! Homer, all right. Homer has this gift. He never takes himself too seriously on the radio. And he never lets anyone else take themselves too seriously either. And for a while there, he had this segment where people would call in and they'd have one question. And they'd have to ask one question really fast. And it didn't have to have anything to do with sports. It could be the silliest, stupidest question or the most serious, most profound question. But just because it was a profound question, he never promised to give a profound answer. And if a person did more than ask a question, he'd just cut them off. But you just had a chance to ask one question. And then they would, him and Lightning, the guy who's on the air with him, they call him Lightning. Thunder and Lightning then. No, he's Thunder, I'm sorry. Lightning is the guy behind the scenes. So Homer and Thunder. And Thunder would be the heavy. You know, if the person got carried away, Thunder would cut him off. And so if you had one question, what would it be? I just recently read a book by Andy Stanley called The Best Question Ever. That's what I want to talk about tonight, The Best Question Ever. I won't make you wait. when I read the book, it wasn't until like the third or fourth chapter that Andy Stanley finally tells you what the best question ever is. But according to Andy Stanley, the best question ever is, what is the wise thing for me to do? In any situation you find yourself in, that's the question you ought to be asking. What is the wise thing for me to do? And he goes on, and he does a great job. It's an excellent book. All of the leaders in the New Life ministry are going to get a copy of it. It's really good. It's helpful, useful. Is that a prayer meeting? Praise God. Okay. Let's worship the Lord. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Praise God. This is a Pentecostal church, right? Glory. The best question, what is the wise thing for me to do? Now, I know that everyone in this building probably right now is dealing with some situation where they must make a decision. Could be a big one, maybe as simple as, you know, where am I going to go to eat after church? Hopefully that's not what you're thinking about, and if I just started you thinking about that, forget it, okay? But whatever is going on in your life right now, that's a question you need to ask. But don't worry about the answer yet. Andy Stanley spends the rest of his book talking about how to ask the question, when to ask the question, how to answer the question, and we'll get to that. But don't worry about the answer right now. What question are you asking in your life? What is it you're trying to decide? What are you dealing with? Ask that question, what is the wise thing for me to do? Look at the questions being asked in Acts chapter 9. God asked Saul, 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 why are you persecuting me? And Saul responds with a question. Usually when we answer a question with a question, it's because we either don't know the answer or we don't want to answer. Who art thou, Lord? Then God answers and says, I am Jesus. Probably not the answer Saul was expecting to hear. God's talking to me and he says he's Jesus. Saul is smart enough, though, to realize that it is God, and he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And God answers, again, probably not the answer Saul was looking for. He said, go into the city and somebody will tell you what to do. See, we would like it much better if we could just ask the question and get an answer. But God tells us to go somewhere and find the answer. God sends us to somebody who can give us the answer. Well, if we don't learn anything else from this story, we can learn this, that God knows how to get our attention. There's just such a range of possibilities here presented in this room, but I'm sure that God has tried to get your attention, otherwise you wouldn't be here tonight. Saul was knocked down. I always imagine he was on a donkey or something, on a horse. Maybe he wasn't, maybe he was just walking. I don't know, but he was knocked down onto the ground and a bright light flashed before him and he was blinded. That would get my attention. Whatever's going on in your life, God is aware of it. He's aware of the situation you're dealing with. Whether it's the best day or the worst day of your life, he knows about it. And he wants your attention tonight. When God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Because he knows all the answers to all the questions. Remember Adam? God comes into the garden and says, Adam, where are you? And Adam and Eve are hiding behind the bush. God will never find us here. God knew right where they were. Of course he did. But he wanted to confront them. He wanted them to examine themselves, to look at their situation and to realize, I'm trying to hide from God in the Garden of Eden. Or when God said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? Do you remember God came with two angels? The Lord came in as the angel of the Lord, and they sat down, and Sarah was behind the curtain, on the other side of the tent. And God asked Abram, where's your wife? As if he didn't know. And then a little later, God asked Abram, why is your wife laughing? Now, just put yourself in Abram's place. How am I supposed to answer that question? Why is my wife laughing? I don't know why my wife laughs at anything in the first place. I'm supposed to answer to God why she's laughing. When God asks us a question, he wants us to recognize the answer for ourselves. It's not that he doesn't know that we have to inform him. It's because he wants us to examine our situation, to look into our own heart, to look into our own life, and to answer the question for ourselves. He's trying to point something out to us. When the Lord comes to you and he's trying to get your attention, whether he's knocking you down on the ground or flashing a bright light in front of your face or giving you the worst day of your life, somehow he wants you to look at your own life and examine your heart. He wants us to consider the circumstances we're in and the answer to the question. Adam had to admit to himself and to God, I'm hiding because I was afraid. Never before in his life had Adam been afraid. He walked with God in the cool of the day. The Bible says they met face to face, but now suddenly Adam had to admit, oh God, I'm afraid. This is what sin does. It separates us from God. Are you hiding from God today? Are you afraid of what God would say to you? God knew where Sarah was. She was as much a part of God's plan for Abram as Abram was. Think about that. We talk about Abram being the father of the faithful, but if there's no mother of the faithful, there's no father of the faithful. She was part of God's plan. I believe that's why God was asking the question, where's Sarah? You aren't doing this on your own, Abram. And Sarah, come on. I want you to be a part of this. You can't hide from me forever. You're part of this plan. Sarah, what are you laughing about? Can you imagine that? She thinks she's hiding from this visitor, and he speaks through the tent wall to her and says, what is it you're laughing about? Come on out here now. I need you to be in on this. You see, God wants to talk to each one of us about his plans for our lives. And if you keep trying to put things between you and him, you keep trying to separate yourself, you try to hide from God, he can't do for you the things that he wants to do. So he's trying to get your attention. He's asking you the question, what, come on out, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? He asked, what are you laughing about, Sarah? What makes you think this is funny, Sarah? This is serious business. God has a plan for you. Now, I think really what happened is she was laughing in her own heart. So many of us find it so hard to believe that God cares about us. I remember when I was seeking for the Holy Ghost, when I had already been baptized, it was a little over a week before I was filled to overflowing and began to speak with other tongues. It seemed like forever. But the thing that kept me from receiving the blessing that God had for me was the fact that I could not really accept the fact that He would give it to me. You may be sitting here tonight thinking, you know, all these church people in their suits and ties, and why would God have a plan for me? You're laughing within yourself, but I'm telling you, God is here trying to get your attention. Praise God. Come on out from behind that curtain. Paul's on the road to Damascus, and God asks Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" In other words, Paul, Saul, what are you doing here? Why are you on this road? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you hiding, Adam? Why are you laughing, Sarah? It's like when God met Elijah in the cave. We all know about the prophet Elijah. He challenged the prophets of Baal. And they had a showdown, spent the whole day offering sacrifice, and he showed them up. God did a great work, honored Elijah's offering. He won a great victory. Then he had to face off with Jezebel, and he ended up running from the presence of Jezebel. And then angel met him and fed him, and he went across the wilderness on a long journey from the food that God gave him. He ended up in a cave by himself up in the side of the mountain. And God comes and visits Elijah and asks him a question. What are you doing here in a cave, Elijah? And Elijah had a canned response. He was all set. He was, "I am the servant of the Most High God, and I alone have served God, and I have faced off with all of God's enemies, and here I am." And God said, "Go stand outside the cave for a minute." And we know that there came in front of him an earthquake and a thunderstorm and great natural cataclysms, that all the earth shook and all this stuff went on, and the Bible says that God was not in it. He comes back into the cave, and God says, "Why are you in this cave? What are you doing here?" He asks him the same question. And Elijah gives the same answer. Now, what would make you think, after you answer God one time and your answer is not good enough, that the next time the same answer is going to be acceptable? But that's what we do, isn't it? We try to give God the same excuse. We try to use the same reasons. "Oh, I was treated badly when I was brought up. Oh, I can't help it, I'm addicted. Oh, I've got this situation, I've got that situation." But God is going to ask the same question over and over again until he gets the answer he's looking for. What are you doing here? God said, "Here's the situation, Elijah. I am more powerful than anything you witnessed out there. I am more powerful than all of those prophets you met with. I showed that to you. I am more powerful than Jezebel. What are you doing here in this cave? I brought you all the way out here just to tell you that I have plans for you, Elijah. And there's lots of other prophets I can use. There's lots of other things I could do. I'm God. But I want to use you. And I need you to be in on the plan." Praise God. God asked Adam, "Why are you hiding? Where are you?" Adam's response was, "Because I've sinned and I don't know how to approach you." He didn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that's what he said, but that's what was going on. Maybe that's where you are tonight. Maybe you know God is dealing with you. Maybe you know there's something you want from God. Maybe you've tried everything else, but you don't know how to approach God because sin has separated you from him. But God said, come on out here, Adam, Eve, you too. Come out here and admit your sin to me. That's really what they had to do. They had to step out from their hiding place and admit to God that they were sinners. Again, the Bible doesn't spell that out, but really, they've been walking with God face to face. They had to admit it. Admit your sin. That's the first step. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Adam or Abram or anyone else. What, when God starts dealing with us, that's the first thing we need to take care of. We need to take care of the sin problem. Adam, I know what you've done. You can't hide from me. But I still have a plan for you. He gave them skins to cover themselves. That means he killed animals. He made a blood sacrifice and covered them with the skins of the animal. He set a pattern. He made the sacrifice. And he made a sacrifice for our sin, too. Oh, praise God. He went to he came and robed himself in flesh and allowed himself to be crucified on a cross. And paid the sacrifice of blood for you and for me. Because he's got a plan for us, for every one of us. Praise God. What a wonderful revelation it was to me the day I realized that all of my sins could be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Everyone say all again. All I had to do was repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and all of my sins were washed away. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to let your past weigh you down. You don't have to let your associations hold you back. You don't have to let your economic situation limit you. All you have to do is come out from where you're hiding and present yourself to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Admit you're a sinner and let him wash your sins away, because he has already paid the price and his blood will wash away all of your sins. Come out here, Sarah. This isn't just for your husband. This isn't just for the preacher, Abraham. You're part of this plan, Sarah, and I can't do it without you. The book of Acts says that on the day of Pentecost, about 120 men and women were in the upper room, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's that word again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, they were, say it again, all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. You know, that could happen here tonight. I remember, Brother Thomas, I remember when one or two people being filled with the Holy Ghost was a big deal in our church services. Well, the Bible says that if one person repents, that all of the angels in heaven rejoice. So it is a big deal. But now, if someone doesn't receive the Holy Ghost in a service, we're a little bit let down, because we expect that someone's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost before this service is over tonight. We expect that someone's going to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins before this night is over. And we're expecting and hoping that it's going to be more than just one. But God could fill everyone in this room before the night is over. We could all be filled with the Holy Ghost. All. Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children and as many are as afar off, whoever hears the call of God. What are you doing here? Sarah was laughing in her own heart because she did not think the plan of God for Abraham could possibly include her. Why are you hiding behind that curtain of doubt tonight? Why are you laughing within yourself? God has a plan for you. God is talking to you. He's trying to get your attention. That's why you're in this place. And He has a promise to work out in your life. You can be filled with God's Holy Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Why are you here, child of God? Come on, get up. Get out of the cave. There's a lot going on out there. Elijah was the prophet. He was the one who called fire from heaven. He was the man. And he's hiding in a cave. God said, get out of here. I've got things for you to do. We can't hide inside this building. God wants to get our attention. There's things to be done. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a ministry for you. He's got a work for you to do. He wants to fill you up all over again and set you on the way. Let's go see what miracles God can perform. What lives He will touch. God gave Elijah a list. He gave him a to-do list. And he said, now go get it done. And Elijah had to go find Elisha. And then he went and found another man and another thing. And he just went down the list and did what God had for him to do. God had already prepared the way for him. Whatever God has for you to do, He's already working on it. All we need to do is go do what He's called us to do. God asked Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you here? Don't you know who I am? He's the only one that really has the right to say that. Not the politician when he gets pulled over for speeding or the movie star when they get busted for drug possession. Don't you know who I am? Listen, if I was a police officer, I'd say, yeah, and I sure am glad I'm the one that gets to bring you in. God gets to say that, though. Don't you know who I am? That may not be the best question ever, but it's a really good one. Don't you know all the great things I could do in your life if you would only let me? This may be one of the few times when it's a good idea to answer a question with a question. According to Andy Stanley, the best question is, what is the wise thing for me to do? Praise God. We are here in the house of God. This is an apostolic Pentecostal one God church. What is the wise thing for you to do here tonight before you leave this place? Don't you know who He is? He's God and He's present. That's what you're feeling. Ask yourself that question. What's the wise thing for you to do? Praise God. Eventually, Andy Stanley reshapes the question a little bit. And I'm not going to do it just the way he did, but I want to use the process. I'd like to ask the question like this. In light of my past experience, and in light of my current circumstances, and in light of my hopes and possible future, what is the wise thing for me to do right here, right now, tonight? Oh, hallelujah. A better way to say it is, what is God's will for me right now? Because the best thing, the wisest thing that any one of us could do is find out what God's will for us is, and then to do it. Now, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, everyone say all should come to a knowledge of the truth. He also says He's not willing that any should perish, but should come to repentance. If you have never repented from your sin, that's God's will for you. He's trying to get your attention here tonight, and he wants to make you part of his plan. He's got something for you. All you have to do is find out what his will for you is, and I'm telling you, it's to repent from your sin, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the will of God in your life? You must have asked that question sometime. It's the best question ever. What is God's will for me? God gave Adam and Eve an answer. He gave them a sacrifice for their sin. God gave Sarah and Abraham the promise of a son and a plan for the rest of their lives and the promise of a many nations that, as their descendants. God gave Elijah renewed vision and purpose. Do you need some of that tonight? Do you need a sacrifice for your sin? Do you need a promise from God? Do you need renewed vision in your walk with God? God has the answer right here tonight. All you have to do is ask the right question. What is God's will for me? Praise God. What question do you have? What question is in your heart tonight? Let's stand. I know some of the hard questions. Some of the hardest questions we deal with are questions that say, why? Why, God? Why did this have to happen? I'm certain that's the question on someone's mind here tonight. Why? Someone else is asking the question, where? Where am I going to find a job? Where am I going to find a place to live? Some of you are asking the question that says, who? Who's the girl I'm going to marry? Who's the guy that's good enough to marry me? That's about how it goes too, right? The guy says, where's the one I'm going to marry? And the girl's looking for the one that's, never mind. Those are real questions. Those are questions of life. They make a difference. But the real question we need to be asking before we ask those questions is this. What does God have in store for me? What is God's will for me? What is God's plan for me? How do I find the plan of God, the will of God? Oh, praise God. God wants to answer those questions for you. He's not afraid of any question you can ask, but the first question he wants to give you the answer to is what his will for your life is. And if you're struggling with any of those questions, I'm telling you, you will not find the real answer until you find out what his will for your life is. Because once you find out God's will for you, then you will find his plan for you, and those answers are in the plan of God for your life. If you haven't been born again, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you've already got the answer, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the first step.
Yes.
You'll have to come out from behind the bushes. You have to stop hiding behind the curtain. You have to get up and come out of the cave, because he wants to reveal himself to you on a personal level. Praise God. It's up to you to step out from where you are. Hallelujah. He wants to reveal his will in your life. He wants to fulfill the needs you have. He wants to make something out of your life that you never imagined it could be. It's just a matter of you asking the question, God, what do you want me to do? Praise God. That's why at the end of every service, we take an opportunity to come down to the front of this room and we talk to God. You see, Saul had no idea when he left that day that God was going to be meeting with him the way he did. He had no idea that he was going to have a little one-on-one with the creator of the universe. But he was at least smart enough to start asking questions of the God that he met in the way. Praise God. I want to encourage you. Come and ask the Lord. Come and talk to God. What is your will for my life? I'm telling you, if you have never done that, tonight is the night. We can all be filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
Praise God. If you want to surrender your life to God, I want you to come down and stand on this side. And someone can come and help you find the presence of God. He will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you surrender it to Him. If there's something you're struggling with in your life tonight, you just can't find the answers. You just can't seem to get it right. Come right down here in the front. There's someone that wants to help you, that wants to pray you. Ask the questions you want to ask God, and we'll help you find the answer. If He's the one, you need to talk to Him. Praise God. If you need healing tonight, come on down. Our God is a healer. Why, God? Why am I still sick? Why, God? Why can't I get over this? Praise God. He's our healer. He's our healer. God will meet with you. He will answer. Hallelujah. Let's pray. The best question ever. What is God's will in my life? You can have that answer before you leave here tonight. Jesus Christ is present. The power of God is in this place. Praise God.